Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, June 20th, 2017. I am Jason Powell on the site today. My full review of Monday's WWE Raw television show, plus my WWE Raw hit list, will be available a little bit later on Tuesday afternoon. And we should have the WWE Raw viewership and ratings information. And be sure to join me tonight for live coverage of SmackDown as the show airs on USA Network. I also want to mention that I am the guest on the latest edition of the Ross Report podcast with WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross. That show will be available at Podcast One on Tuesday evening, so be sure to check that out. Coming up after the break for non-members, my interview with Ring of Honor COO Joe Koff. Okay.net members, I am here with Ring of Honor COO Joe Koff. Best in the World, coming up on pay-per-view Friday night. Christopher Daniels defending the ROH title against Cody, and I will say Rhodes, that is the main event of the show. We can certainly discuss that, but Joe, I want to start by congratulating you. Ring of Honor reaching a milestone on television, 300 episodes.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and you know, it's really a testament to the people at Ring of Honor, the production people, the creative people, the talent, and certainly our audience, because without audience, we wouldn't be continuing. But, you know, in television parlance, Jason, 300 episodes is a lot. Most programs that everybody watches on over-the-air TV like Friends and Seinfeld, shows like that, they syndicate out at 100 episodes. So to think about 300 episodes is really, really a big milestone. Very, very proud of it.
Absolutely. And you know, I was critical of the show over the years, production issues for a long time, and even from a creative standpoint, production has really improved over, I would say, the last couple of years even. And this year, I've written repeatedly that I feel like the show has improved creatively in terms of being more episodic, delivering more good go-home type of shows that really get you fired up for the pay-per-view. What's changed from a creative standpoint that led to, again, what I perceive as the show's improvement in 2017?
I thank you for that compliment, and it's something that we at Ring of Honor are constantly pushing. And I think you're going to find this next set of episodes, even technically one step even further. We're constantly investing into the program. We have some new equipment that we utilized and deployed for this show. So if you're able to see it, please let me know. And I think just from a creative aspect, you know, Ring of Honor has always been a very collaborative promotion. And what I mean by that is, I mean, we take in a lot of ideas, and especially as it comes to angles and stuff like that. And I think we're just seeing a little bit more of that collaboration at work. You know, we have a brilliant, brilliant creative staff, and, you know, my hat's off to them. They've really been producing a show for 300 episodes, and, you know, you do that over and over again. I think what happens, Jason, is that we remember what maybe if not has been so great, or things like the production that you mentioned, or maybe even the storylines. But I think once you get into that zone with Ring of Honor, all of that stuff just happens and you can see it more clearly. But I really believe it's a lot of collaboration. It's a lot of ideas that are being pitched and being worked with. And I think we're starting to see that in the television a little bit more.
Now, Hunter Johnson's been the head booker for some time. And lately I've heard talk that you mentioned a collaborative effort, that I've heard guys like Chris Daniels, BJ Widmer, and referee Todd Sinclair even, are those some names that are helping with with the creative end of things?
Yes. And we've been doing that for the last, I'm going to say 6 months, on a regular basis. It's always been ad hoc, but now it's a little bit more formalized. And, you know, they're Hunter's creative board, but they're not a sounding board. They're a creative board, like I said. And these are guys with multiple years of experience and good ideas and working with talent, either from a referee's perspective or certainly from a wrestling perspective. And I think it just lends to our growth and our further development.
And Todd is a guy, I mean, he's been around for forever. And so I think people are going to hear referees involved in creative. Maybe speak to what he brings to the table.
Well, you know, I'm gonna tell your fans. I think they'll enjoy this story. Back in 2011, when we first bought Ring of Honor and we started to do our shows, we were in the Hammerstein Ballroom, and you know, we had executives, key executives from Ring of Honor there, and Todd Sinclair had gotten into the ring, and all of a sudden there was this spontaneous chanting, as we see at Ring of Honor all the time, but they were chanting Sinclair sucks, Sinclair sucks. And I immediately looked at my executives that were there and to look at the face of fear in their eyes. And, you know, they gave me the nod, come on over. And I went over and they go, how did they even know we bought the company? And I said, welcome to wrestling, everybody. They're talking about Todd Sinclair. And that's a sign of respect for him. It has nothing to do with our company. And it is a sign of respect. You know, the referees play such an important role in the program and in the matches. And, you know, Todd has been with Ring of Honor as long as I've been with Ring of Honor and really as long as I've known about Ring of Honor. And he brings a perspective that's a little bit different. He really knows how the guys work. He knows what they are capable of doing, even though they're all capable of doing amazing things. Todd brings us a perspective from inside the ring that he knows where they can be pushed. He knows what spots might be right. And he's just a genuinely creative talent that just doesn't get his due because he's referee Todd Sinclair.
Now, it's funny you mentioned booing referees because when I go to a show, and I try to be professional, but if it's a local indie show, Jay Soltis, referee Rob, I believe his last name is Page, I can't help myself, Joey. I have to boo those guys. It is a sign of respect.
It's a total sign of respect because if they can elicit that kind of response from the fans, then they're doing their jobs.
Absolutely. Now, the Sinclair Broadcast Group, Tribune Media merger, obviously a huge deal. And I've kind of taken the approach that this could be a really good thing for Ring of Honor, could even end up being the opposite. You just don't know. I mean, you kind of look at what AOL, Time Warner, what happened with WCW back in the day. At this point, how do you see this affecting Ring of Honor?
Oh, my God. First of all, Jason, thank you for bringing it up. And just, again, to all your listeners, I always like to bracket, you know, the bracket the timing right now. This is fairly new. It's just been announced. For those of you who may not be familiar with over-the-air broadcast or, you know, television stations and stuff, there's quite a few regulatory steps that have to be taken.
Sure.
And while we feel very confident and robust in what this deal represents, there are still a few stages that it has to get through. But if we can envision it going through, it can only be good for Ring of Honor. It can only be good for Ring of Honor is because Sinclair Broadcast Group as a company believes in this product. And if history serves us well, which I think it should, we've always ended up on every station that Sinclair owned with a clearance for Ring of Honor. Now, if we want to look forward, and I don't really like doing that because, like I said, there's a lot of steps that can be taken. But the opportunities are really endless with what WGN America might represent or what having a coast-to-coast coverage can mean for Ring of Honor. I don't see it ever as a backfiring of anything. I only see it in a positive vein because of the way we've conducted our business and the way we've grown Ring of Honor.
Now, someone I spoke with in the television industry mentioned Ring of Honor, WGN America, and also said that there's rumblings that WGN America may go the way of almost a Fox News, a conservative news channel. Anything to that?
Well, it's real. I can't say there's nothing to it because if someone heard it, then somebody heard it. But I do not, in all the conversations, and by the way, I'm not at high level in these kinds of conversations. I don't really believe that. I think that's part of the press that's out there and the media that's out there that likes to paint Sinclair in a certain light. And it makes for a much more interesting conversation than enhancing an entertainment channel that's very successful as it is.
Now, you mentioned WGN America. How important is a cable television deal to Ring of Honor? You guys deal in syndication. You had a brief run with Destination America. Is that something that you're pursuing, or are you very content in the syndicated game?
Well, I'm never content. I'm never content with where we are at any given point because I would like to see Ring of Honor available in every home in America. And, you know, from a broadcasting standpoint, as a television operator, we're limited into what we can own and how much we can own. So it only takes you part of the way. Now, we've successfully syndicated Ring of Honor outside of our own broadcast group to another 10 to 12% of the available homes. We're seen on our emerging networks, which are seen on the digital platform, but available free over the home. But, you know, a cable platform like a Destination America, which was for us a wonderful, wonderful 7-month relationship, and I thank Mark Etkind for doing that with us, just allowed me to have a destination point for our show. One time, same time, you know, when you're watching it on the Sinclair stations, even though it's we're all local and everybody in their local markets know exactly where it is, to be able to find it at the same time on a single night at a single time just makes it easier and you know, and it lets us expand our brand a little bit differently.
Now, if you were to end up on cable, do you envision it being similar to Destination America, that like the show would air first in syndication, or do you would you even do a standalone show, separate from what you're doing in syndication?
I think, Jason, like we've done with everything with Ring of Honor, we're very deliberate. We do a lot of thinking. We do a lot of modeling, and either of those opportunities will could exist, and either or both could also be the answer. We don't know yet. It's very distracting at sometimes for the organizations involved when you start doing that and you're not dealing with today. We're an organization that is really proud of the fact that we're an in-the-moment organization. I think we're very authentic. I think we're very genuine. I think our fans feel it. Jason, I'll ask you, have you been to a Ring of Honor show?
I mentioned the Best in the World pay-per-view coming up on Friday on pay-per-view.
No, have you personally been to Ring of Honor?
Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
I'm sorry.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, because I want to put it in perspective, because there's something special that happens in Ring of Honor shows, and for your fans that are listening that have been there, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. But we're a community. Ring of Honor is like a community, and when we open our doors, and all of the people are part of this community, and they're excited. There's a buzz. There's a feeling. And it's because they know that what they're going to see is probably better than what they expected to see. And because of that, we're very focused on the now and what's happening at that moment. I dream of things like WGN America, whether it be WGN America or any other nationally distributed cable channel. Sure, why wouldn't I want to do that? But I don't want it to become a disruption to our organization. Our organization moves forward week by week. Obviously, the storylines are thought out way out further, but that's what we focus on. When we're in a town, that's all we're focused on, not what's going to be next week or last week. It's in the moment. And you know that, Jason, because that spontaneous chanting that erupts, even as I referenced Todd Sinclair and that chant, that you can't stage. That's organic. That happens dynamically. And it's the one thing I get very, as you can hear, passionate, kind of emotional about it. But the hair on my arms is standing because I think of that moment when that spontaneity is matched from the action in the ring to the people's expectations in the fan. That whole arena erupting is just one of the most amazing feelings I get at any kind of sporting event.
Yeah, I catch you guys when you come to Hopkins, Minnesota. Unfortunately,
exactly.
I think I may have been away in Vegas. I don't remember you. I know you came to town. I remember you met with Wade over at the Torch.
Yeah, of course.
So that was one of the.
I remember coming over to. Yeah, those Hopkins shows are terrific, and the fans up there are just amazing.
Yeah, it's so impressive that it's not just wrestling's in town kind of a crowd. I mean, this is a passionate Ring of Honor fan base that is going to those shows. And I'm sure it's like that in almost every market you go to. It's Ring of Honor specific crowds who are very familiar with your storylines.
Well, and they like the they believe in the product. They understand that they're coming to watch a stylized brand of wrestling. Yes, our stars are bar none. I'm going to digress because I have a tendency to be a little, random out there. But when I was at the last show, I was just looking at our stars that were on that show, and I'm telling you, I'm in it day in, day out, but sometimes when you step outside of that day in and day out and take a good look at what you're doing and what you have, I will tell you, our stars are huge. I mean, they're not only huge in name, but they're just so darn good at what they do that it really made me proud that this is what the current brand of Ring of Honor is representing. Cody Rhodes, Bully Ray, Dalton Castle, the Bullet Club, all edifications of the Bullet Club, Marty Scurll. I mean, these are big names. These are major, major stars, and they've chosen Ring of Honor to work in. It is so humbling, but just so complimentary, and I just think it just tells the story of what we're doing and who we are.
You mentioned Dalton, and there have been reports that he has re-signed with the company. Can you confirm that?
I've confirmed that we never really talk about those matters. I will just confirm this, that we're having very excellent conversations with them.
All right, okay, very good. Now, you mentioned the roster, and one of the complaints that I hear from kind of longtime ROH viewers these days, or ROH fans, they point to the roster is filled more with more veteran talent on top than younger talent than maybe it has been in the past. Now, is this by design, or is it because, as I've kind of pointed out, maybe there's a bit of a shortage on younger talent at the moment. Not that there's not some on the roster, but just guys that you'd be ready to rush to the top, and perhaps that's due to WWE being so aggressive.
Well, I don't know if it's because of WWE. I think it's a matter of standards. There's plenty of talent available. We see them at our training camps all the time. But, you know, we wrestle a style, and we wrestle a brand. And, you know, the guys at the top, the Christopher Daniels and the Briscoes and the Jay Lethals, not only are they superlative and top performers, but they're also great teachers. So when we find someone like a Flip Gordon, who's one of our new younger talents,
right,
you know, we have the right people involved in through the system to help them develop into becoming major stars. There's no shortage of talent. We all know that. I don't know that the WWE is really stealing the younger talent. I know that, you know, we've provided them and other organizations with top talent. I think the fans have an expectation, and because we are Ring of Honor, every match I want to be like a main event match. And Jonathan Gresham, young talent coming through. Will Ferrara, Cheeseburger, of course, these are young guys that are coming through. They need to be seasoned, and they need to be seasoned properly. And again, we're a community. We're not just a wrestling promotion. We're a family, and I think that they have their role. We work with them on their role, and we watch them develop through.
What are you doing to counter that? I mean, WWE, clearly with the Performance Center, is signing a lot of talent. And like you said, there's always going to be talent out there. You mentioned the tryout camps. How much scouting is there? I mean, just maybe speak to what you guys are doing to try to keep your finger on the pulse in terms of discovering that, you know, who the best young talent is out there on the independent scene, even if they're not making their way to a Ring of Honor tryout camp.
Well, we're always on the lookout, you know, especially when we go into towns. We'll always look through the local promoters and the local promotions there to see if there's anybody we would like to test out or that would have a local appeal and work with that. You know, I think the Performance Center does what it does, and it does an excellent job. And it's a college for wrestlers, and there's no question about it. And we don't compete at that level because we never competed at that level. When we decided to go into the wrestling space, it had a clear path, and that clear path was we were never going to compete with the WWE at what they do, because quite frankly, there's nobody that does that better. But that's their style, and that's their way. Ring of Honor doesn't need to compete at that level because we present a different product, and you know we do most of our talking in the ring with matches as opposed to on the mic, but you know, we must be doing something right because it just seems like an awful lot of our talent ends up in the WWE. So,
right,
I'm pretty proud of that. And you know, there's talent that have chosen to go. There's talent that have chosen to stay. So I think what we've created is a company and a promotion for the fans, for our wrestlers, for our business partners that satisfy a lot of all of the things people are looking for.
Now, it's been heavily rumored, at least, that there was a legal threat sent to WWE that, I guess, caused them to want a gap between Ring of Honor contracts expiring and them actually bringing in Ring of Honor talent. We're still seeing some guys who contract expired either early this year, late last year, who are expected to show up, who still haven't shown up in WWE yet. Did that legal threat come from you? Did it exist? Can you talk about that?
We don't comment on those matters, but I'm going to tell you, do you really believe that, you know, I ask this way because we don't comment on it, so I guess I'm doing an inference comment just because you're so professional in what you're doing. I mean, do you really think that could happen?
Well,
I
point to Kyle O'Reilly as a guy who everyone assumed was WWE bound, and here we are 6 months after his deal expired, and he's still not there.
I can't answer that. That he's not with us. So where he is, and by the way, we love Kyle. And, you know, we never wanted Kyle to leave. But these are choices people make. But how could my company stop another company from hiring somebody? Well, I mean, obviously, business is business, Jason. I would hope they would respect my talent while they're under contract. But once they're not under contract, how could I stop that?
Right, and that's where I think.
I mean, it's not even realistic. You know that you're in business. There's nothing that would hold that up.
Well, but that's the thing. It's not so much people believe that there may have been some tampering at play while talent was under contract, that you or someone else within the company tried to say, hey, stop it, and that would be within your legal right.
I could tell you from my perspective, and I'm pretty sure I see everything that goes company to company, there was absolutely no tampering letters that went back and forth.
Very good. Now, it's well known that Impact Wrestling did send a legal threat, not to you guys. I shouldn't say that. I'm guessing you probably got some of that as well, but certainly to Dish Network, which caused Dish Network to pull I believe it was the 15th anniversary show.
Yeah, it was, and I think we, you know, I could tell you from a business perspective, it probably cost us quite a few buys.
And Ed Nordholm has made it seem like everything's fine, and he's the Anthem executive that's running Impact Wrestling, and he said basically made it seem like they're open to doing business with you guys. Is the feeling mutual at this point?
Yeah, there's no. I mean, look, that. You know, Anthem had just taken over the company. They were losing their biggest stars. We had agreed prior to everything about how the Hardys and Bucks were going to be used interpromotionally. And then, for whatever reason, the Hardys' deal with Anthem fell apart, and we continued. You know, we were able to use them once they were no longer under contract to anybody. We were able to book additional dates. There were not those were added dates that came in. So it was just business as usual for us. I never turned down any kind of creative idea that might enhance Ring of Honor.
Sure.
At the time, if the Hardys remained with TNA, there was going to be what we call like a home and home series where the Bucks would have appeared to defend or not to defend or get back their title. Understood. But when that went away, so did that creative thought and that angle. Down the road, I'm always open, and Ed and I have had nice conversations, and I have a lot of respect for Anthem as a company and respect for Ed as an executive. And, you know, no door shut. It did create a little bit of an inconvenience for us.
Right.
But we understand business, and we recognized what they were doing and why they were doing it. And we did not get in the way of that, even though it did end up costing us. I couldn't tell you how many buys, but not being available on Dish, certainly there were people who wanted to watch it on Dish that could not.
Ring of Honor Best in the World coming up Friday on pay-per-view. And I guess you guys just had a pay-per-view, I believe, was it last month? And you're coming with War of the Worlds, you're coming right back with Best in the World. How many pay-per-views are on the schedule this year? Is that something that is increasing?
I think there's six total. And, you know, we did an iPay-per-view out of Lakeland, and I think iPay-per-views are going to be in our future as well. The technology is such, people are watching them. They're watching streams anyway through so many different sources. But we have six, I think, scheduled this year. And War of the Worlds really was an accommodation for the people of the wrestling world. You know, we added that one in because of New Japan and because of our relationship with New Japan and just the quality of what was being presented that night. It was just pay-per-view worthy.
But you do envision more, like, was it Supercard of Honor, your WrestleMania weekend show? I know,
right.
I watched
that
it
was
on the Fight App.
Yeah, and you know what? It was fine. I mean,
it was.
It really was fine. And you know, I think we have to look at a mix of those technologies and a mix of presenting them that way. And if it makes more sense for us to go full scale, like, you know, like we're doing this weekend, then we'll do that. But, you know, it gives us a little bit more. I like to think of ourselves as a cigarette boat kind of promotion where we can zig and zag where we need to. And that gives us a little bit of an opportunity to add a pay-per-view, maybe change the way we're going with the pay-per-view. And now that the technology is sound and you watched on the Fight app and we had zero complaints about quality or inability to get it, it just gives us more options. Options are a good thing. You know that, Jason.
Right, and it was the first time I had used the Fight TV app, and I was blown away. You know,
yeah.
anything streaming. I mean, WWE Network's been very reliable, but it's just been, there's been so many streaming issues with various companies, but that was very smooth. Now, I did have some issues with the last one, but I was covering the show, so I couldn't wait it out. For all I know, it ended up working great a couple of minutes later. But for that Mania weekend, that was great. What was the holdup in terms of promoting that? It seems like it wasn't really known that it was going to be available until the last week or so.
Well, you know, we were focused on the crowd. We were focused on getting, you know, making sure that we had an unbelievably good show for the people that came. Don't forget, that was a huge crowd. It was our biggest crowd. And we were a good hour and 15 minutes from all of the main action that was going on in Orlando. And, you know, we're very focused on our paying customers, whether they're on, you know, stream or they're on pay-per-view or they're in. And it was just a last-minute decision based on how big that show really became.
Oh, I'm happy you made it. I enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah. It was. You know what? I will tell you, for all of the guys that wrestle for Ring of Honor and for all of my creative staff and for all of our production staff and for all the people who made that journey over to Lakeland, first of all, nobody was disappointed. That show was probably the best show of the weekend. And you know what? We've earned it. And I'm going to say the collective we. It has nothing to do with me. What you see in Ring of Honor is just the diligence and the execution and the perseverance of just very, very dedicated people who are dedicated to their craft, to the integrity of our brand, to just their fans. I mean, it was amazing to watch. And at one point, I couldn't stand out. That's how emotional I was to see that, wow, we were able to really deliver this. And we delivered it in such a way that made me so proud of everything we built up to that moment.
Do you intend to head back to, you know, follow WrestleMania weekend? I've heard some rumblings that it may not be in the host city this year, your WrestleMania weekend show.
I leave that to the bookers and the promoters and stuff like that. We've always been in the WrestleMania city. So if history is a teacher, then I would probably venture to guess that we will be there as well.
Okay. Now, one of the things that I've said kind of just strikes me as the company maybe leaving money on the table is that it doesn't feel like the video library is showcased as well as it could be. And I know you guys have Ringside membership on the website,
mm-hmm.
but are there any plans to enhance this, to you know, whether it's over-the-top WWE style? It just feels like there's so much more that can be done with this really valuable library.
I think you're right, and I think just, you know, I was in a conversation about this yesterday, with not only my Ring of Honor people, but also from our people in Sinclair, that we have a huge department and a division that does a lot of this streaming and over-the-top development and all kinds of digital development. And but, you know, Jason, you know, I look at it, we're in our sixth year, which is just testament and just, you know, I'm so proud of that. But, you know, our product has always been the television stations first because we're a television company. And I think we have to get that product right, as you said, you know, production-wise and stuff. Our shows have always been available on VOD. I mean,
right.
Whether you're a Ringside member or any fan, if you went to a Milwaukee show and you were there and you wanted to relive it, it's available, and it's available very inexpensively, and the quality and everything is good. I think the app, I think the over-the-top discussions are something that you're going to see a little bit more aggressively in 2018.
Will there be some website improvements along with that?
Everything. It'll be all those pieces. And again, interesting that you say that. And you know, our website is really our portal. And you know, we get very few comments negative about our website. And maybe that's because our fans understand who we are and they're comfortable with it. Doesn't mean that we just lay down and say we don't need to improve it. We're constantly in improvement mode on every aspect of our company, and I think that goes from television production to production of the shows in a town to talent development to talent signing to how we conduct our shows, how we do our shows. This is an ongoing process, but I will say if there's any criticisms that could be levied against us, and I'm fine with them if they are, we are very slow and deliberate in how we do our business. And I think because of that, we're building a business to last, not to be a flash in the pan. We have a core. We know what our core is. Our job is to preserve that core, but to stimulate its progress as we move along. And I think we're doing a good job with that.
And last topic, and maybe this ties in with what you just said in a way, where do things stand with the Women of Honor? It seems like we get the occasional special on the television show, and it seems like there's a lot of footage taped, and maybe they're showing up on video on demand, I'm not sure. But you guys have a gap between your pay-per-views and your next, the first batch of television tapings. So is there room for more of the Women of Honor shows, the specials?
Yes, there is, and you will see them. And, you know, again, because we are Ring of Honor and because we have a certain brand that it represents, it's assembling the talent and assembling the right amount of talent to put together a cohesive cohesive program of Women of Honor wrestling. And I think the women that wrestle for us are just terrific, by the way. I just don't think that there's not 20 of them. You know, there's 6 to 8 of them. And I think that when people want to see Ring of Honor, if there's a Women of Honor match, they want to see that same level of artistry. They want to see that same level of physicality. They want to see athletes in the ring, pretty, and they are. They're beautiful. But they want to see that. Then this is not a, you know, a glamour shot. These are women that really take their craft seriously. And I think developing that through to get to a full stable just takes time. And Women of Honor will, again, be a part of our promotion that we will see developing through the second half of this year into 2018. And I think people will be very happy with what they see.
Very good. And one follow-up, Joe. Maybe you can clear this up for me. I mentioned there's kind of a gap between like a pay-per-view event, and then obviously you can't have anything first run that weekend. But it does seem like there's a couple weeks in between. Is it a production delay? I've heard you guys have to have the show done and in almost a week before it airs. Is that the case? Is that the reason?
It's definitely production. It's definitely the way we shoot our program. We're not shooting every week. So we have to think about those shows and those gap. By the way, interestingly enough, Jason,
yeah,
there's very little ratings difference between a gap show and an episodic show.
Really?
Because the wrestling and the gap shows are not terrible. They're just gap shows, as you call them, and I don't even call them gap shows. You know, they're just shows that are part of our broadcast schedule. I'm using that term because you use that term. We don't look at it that way. They're thought out. We know exactly what's going to be in those shows. But there is a lead lag, that's the way we shoot. That's the way our business operates. It's something we're always looking at to see that it's not as apparent, or in your eyes, it seems to be apparent. But there's been very little ratings differential because of it.
Well, and to your credit, those shows have improved. I mean, I remember it wasn't more a year or two ago. It just kind of seemed there was like best of specials and things like that, where now it seems like you guys are really doing a better job of planning ahead, laying things out so that it doesn't, you know, you might not have the first run update from the pay-per-view, but it still feels like you're seeing first run material.
It's all first run, by the way. We haven't had a rerun in Ring of Honor in 300 episodes. We might have had a compilation show or those Briscoes down on the farm, but we've never aired rerun shows. Everything is original content. Even if it's repackaged, it's still original. And even in our repackaging, you're most likely, and I'm pretty sure I can say this with 100% certainty, you're going to see something you haven't seen before in a Ring of Honor television show. So all of these comments that you're making and all of these observations are spot on. I think that, and it's not, and I'm not talking to you specifically, the production is so fine right now that what we did 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I would say look at any show 2 or 3 years ago. Look at the first Seinfelds to the last Seinfeld.
Sure.
Look at any episodic program. You're going to see development, because if you don't continue to develop, then you don't continue to grow. And investments are constantly being made. And a lot has to do with the fact that, here's another thing, and I'm proud of this for Ring of Honor, and maybe we can put it into a better perspective for your listeners and for you yourself. We shoot on the road. We're not in a studio. We're not in a set place where everything looks the same every time we do it. Now, neither is the WWE, but I can tell you they're in different kinds of buildings. They roll with 10 to 12 semi-trucks of production. God bless them. They're unbelievable. That's why their shows are so fabulous looking.
Right.
But, you know, we could go into a building that has truss lighting, or we can go into a building that we have to bring in truss lighting. So you're going to have a different look every 4 weeks because we're going into different venues. It's something I think is special because I think to give cities and fans in those cities a TV taping, they get to see a different kind of product than a normal house show. Not that there's any different from the expectation or any difference in, you know, how the fan's going to feel, but they're part of something, and it's part of that community I talked about earlier.
Well, Joe, if somebody's on the fence about the Best in the World pay-per-view coming up on Friday, give them a nudge.
I think that if you followed Ring of Honor history, you'll know that at every Best in the World, something momentous has happened at that show. It's not necessarily in the main event. It's not. It's somewhere in the show, because that Best in the World is what it means. These are people who want to be considered the best in the world. And when you look at who is fighting this weekend in Lowell and available on your cable, I mean, you know, you have every championship match being defended, and from the world championship all the way down to the six-man. And when you look at that six-man, you know, to Bully Ray and the Briscoes versus Dalton and the boys, I mean, we haven't seen really the boys. I think just to see the boys on Bully Ray is worth the price of admission, as they would say, or getting the pay-per-view. I think watching the television champion Kushida fighting Marty Scurll, and he's got it. He wants that title back badly. Does the Bullet Club, and then you have you know, Christopher Daniels, who's, you know, an amazing champion, and really epitomizes what Ring of Honor is, versus Cody. I mean, how could you not take this pay per view?
Fight TV app, standard pay per view. Order the show. And by all means, join me for live coverage on Friday night as the show airs. Joe, thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed this.
Jason, thank you for giving me the time, and thank your listeners for supporting Ring of Honor. I appreciate it.